Join WJCT and Baptist Health for the luncheon series that promotes women's health. Don't miss Dr. Stephen M. Crenshaw from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute as he discusses the topic, new options for knee pain, robot-assisted partial knee resurfacing. Are you a candidate? The next Lunch and Learn takes place at WJCT Studios on Thursday, April 26th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. The event is free and open to the public, but seating is limited and reservations are required. For more information, visit WJCT.org and click on Lunch and Learn.
The Museum of Florida History in Tallahassee has opened the first phase of their new exhibition, Forever Changed, A Look at Florida's Colonial Period. I'm Ben Brookmarkle, and coming up on Florida Frontiers, the weekly radio magazine of the Florida Historical Society, will visit the new exhibition. Former journalist Al Spivak of Vero Beach remembers participating in the Nixon-Kennedy presidential debates of 1960. That and much more on Florida Frontiers, Monday evening at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
And welcome back to First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. Well, remember 1992, the year of the woman? That was the last time a presidential election overlapped with redistricting initiatives. The result was that women won 22 of the 24 open congressional seats that year in 92. Some political observers think that type of sweep could happen again this year. The 2012 project, which is conducted by the Rutgers Center for Women in Politics, says political opportunities for women are ripe for the picking if they can only seize the moment. Leadership expert and author Gloria Felt is on the line with more about the 2012 project and her new book, No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change the Way They Think About Power. Gloria Felt, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm happy to be with you.
Let me begin by asking you about the 2012 Project. Is it designed to get more women into Congress?
Well, the 2012 Project is designed to get more women to run for office, period. And Congress has clearly been a big focus. I think people tend to focus more on the national elected positions. But, you know, it's also important for women to think about running for office, more local office, too. School boards, city councils, state legislatures, and there are many, many opportunities for women to serve and to be engaged in the political process where we haven't really been maximizing our leadership potential.
And as I noted, the presidential election and all of the redistricting efforts around the country sort of open up space for that to happen, for women to get into office. Now, your book is called No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change the Way They Think About Power. So you're saying that women making too many excuses when it comes to their reasons for not pursuing more political or economic power?
Well, I have to tell you a funny little story. My title for the book was Unlimited, because I believe this is a moment when women are unlimited. And I tend to be a rather positive person to begin with. But, you know, once the booksellers got into the act, they decided that I needed an edgier title. And so so they wanted me to call it No Excuses. And I've come to really like that title because I think it is a little has a little more in-your-face quality about it. And maybe that's good because I think women do need a little bit of tough love right now. We've opened the doors. But nobody's going to walk us through them but ourselves.
And so how do women need to change the way they think about power? What do we need to change in our thinking?
We need to change how we think about it from what is really an old-fashioned way that I discovered women are looking at power and therefore resisting it. And that is the idea that power is power over. You know, because if power over has a really negative connotation, particularly for women, because we've borne the brunt of the negative aspects of it, it's oppressive. You know, it assumes that there's a finite pie, and if I take a slice, there's less for you. Women have been abused, we've been discriminated against. Why would we want that kind of power? But once we discuss this and change how we're defining it in our own minds as the power to do good things in this world, the power to make life better for our kids, ourselves, our families, our communities, our world, the power to understand that it's not a finite pie, and if I help you have more power, there's not less for me. It just means there's more power and goodness out there in the world. Then I would see women's faces start to relax, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I want that kind of power. And I think what you find, since we're talking about women in politics specifically, is that the motivations that women have for running for politics running for political office tend to be different motivations than men have. I mean, men will run just because they want the power and the glory. Women will run if they see an injustice, if they see something that needs to be fixed.
And let me ask you then, what's wrong with women wanting power for its own sake?
Well, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I mean, I think what we need to learn to do is to embrace power. And why not us? And particularly if we're going to use it in an ethical fashion. I mean, I think what women resist is that we've seen too much of power being used unethically, and we don't like that. But you know, power is like a hammer. You can use it to break something apart, or you can use it to build something. And so I just urge women to recognize that really using their power too is the same thing as leadership. And the world right now is crying out for women in leadership. The World Bank has looked at parliaments around the world and found that those with more women have less corruption and have a better decision-making process.
And you mentioned that the goal of the 2012 project is to get more women into office at the local, state, and national levels. How are the numbers looking?
Numbers aren't looking so good. I mean, what actually got me started writing No Excuses, and once I got into looking at women in politics, I discovered that the dynamics are exactly the same, whether we're talking about the workplace or personal relationships or politics. But it was the political issues that got me looking at this topic. And what I found was that all the organizations that have been trying to get women to run for office, like the 2012 Project, the White House Project, Women's Campaign Forum, I mean, there are dozens and dozens of them. And they hadn't moved the dial in 20 years. They hadn't moved the dial at all since 1992, which you cited at the beginning of the show. That's when I started looking at why is it that women aren't moving the dial, and that's when I discovered it's because they just didn't want what they perceived as being the male model of power.
She's Gloria Felt, author, former CEO of Planned Parenthood, and women's leadership speaker and expert. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, and I invite people to learn more at my website, GloriaFelt.com.
Thank you. And the book is No Excuses, 9 Ways Women Can Change the Way They Think About Power. Next, you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9.